बिस्मिल्लाहिर्रहमानिर्रहीम। टाइटल इज अल्लाह अल्लाह इश्क की ये बेजुबानी देखी है। जुबां खामोश और आंखों से है दरिया रवा। अल्लाह अल्लाह इश्क की ये बेजुबानी देखिए। हश्र से पहले नहीं करते हैं वादा दीद का। रब्बी अरनी पर जलाल लंतरानी देखिए। हश्र से पहले नहीं करते हैं वादा दीद का। रब्बे अरनी पर जलाल लंतरानी देखिए। लब खमोशाने मोहब्बत की निगाह पाक से। एक नजर में मुर्दा दिल की जिंदगानी देखिए। आशिकाने जर्द रो की चश्मे नम में सब दम। उनकी जलवों का ये रंगे उरगवानी देखिए। हलवा गाहे हक दिल आरिफ की आहे गर्म में। बारगाहे किबरिया की तर्जुमानी देखिए। यूं तो आशिक बेजुबां मालूम होता है मगर इश्क की तफसीर जादू बयानी देखिए। आशिकों का मन आशिकों का मिंबर दिल पर बयां दर्द दिल। वाज़ में आमिज से दर्द नुमानी देखिए। दास्ताने जख्म अख्तर छुपाता था मगर रोज महशर दागे दिल की गुलफशानी देखिए। है जुबा खामोश और आँखों से है दरिया रवा। अल्लाह अल्लाह इश्क की ये बेजुबानी देखिए।
बिस्मिल्लाह रहमान रहीम। नहमदुहु व नुसल्लि व नुसल्लिमु अला रसूलिहिल करीम। अम्मा बाद। द टाइटल ऑफ दिस शेयर ऑफ आरिफ बिल्लाह हज़रत मौलाना हकीम मोहम्मद अख्तर अदामुल्लाहु फ़ुयूदहु अलैना is that, oh Allah, 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 iski ye bezabani dekhiye. Look at this silent love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ash'ar first time, I've also heard it, many of us also first time. But inshallah, with the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawajjuhat of Hazrat and yourselves, we'll try and make translation of it. Hazrat says that a person's tongue, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his tongue is silent, but from his eyes there are rivers that are flowing of tears of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the silentness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we heard the incident of one ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at night he used to go to sleep and his wife is sleeping right next to him and she is thinking that he is also sleeping, but he's crying out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So love is something that is hidden in a person's heart. A person has to taste this love himself to understand what it is. Like how Hazrat gives the example that if you tell someone a mango is sweet, then he'll ask you that explain to me how is the sweetness of the mango? What does it taste like? Does it taste like an apple? And you say, no, it's not like an apple. Say, is it like a banana? Say, no, it's not like a banana. So what is the sweetness of the mango? If you give him one bite of the mango, he'll understand. Similarly, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's hidden in a person's heart, 100 bayans can be given about it, but until a person doesn't acquire that love in his heart himself, he won't be able to truly understand it. And it is this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we come to these majalis so that we can mine it, so that we can get it. And this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transmitted from heart to heart. So we have to come into the gatherings of those people who have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts, with the intention that how this love can be transferred to our hearts. And then Hazrat says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't promised that he will be viewed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's didar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be seen before the akhirat. And he's drawing our attention to the incident of Musa alayhi salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him to come to Mount Tur, and Musa alayhi salam, out of love, he wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked, "Oh Allah, let me see you." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's jalal came to the fore, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fell down unconscious. The mountain was blown to smithereens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Lan tarani," that you will never be able to see me in this world. Our eyes in this world cannot bear the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unveil all the veils, and this will be the greatest ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon the people in Jannah when they will view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next couplet, Hazrat says that a person's tongue is silent. A person's tongue is silent, but his eyes are pure. With one nazar, with one gaze, look at the life that comes to a person's heart. If a person, either he protects his gaze from looking at haram, then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in his heart. Or the gaze of the arifan, of the arifin, those who have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fall on a person, their hearts turn to Allah and they make dua for that person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his life also, his heart also to life. He also experiences the love of Allah. And further on, Jalwa gahe haq til arif ki ahe karame, that the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the kindness of the heart of the arif, that they translate to us the greatness and the talks of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further on, I'll have to ask Mawlana to forgive me, of course.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Hazrat is explaining that when the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala penetrates the heart of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that very deep, hot sigh comes out middle of the night when they are making dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat, or they are engaged in tahajjud salah, etc. Then they find themselves that this is the explanation of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they experience, and then they explain it to us in these majalis. And Allah ta'ala brings us here to get an idea of the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest knowledge a person can earn and learn, and this is what Allah Ta'ala has actually sent us in this world for. As Hazrat teaches us that Ra'asul Ilm Ma'rifatullah, that the king of all knowledge and the fountain of all knowledge is the Ma'rifat of Allah, the recognition of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then from the depth of the heart, a person's sigh and grief will come out, either how he spends his life, or either enjoying the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realizes that I still need much more, I'm still far from recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then further Hazrat says, "You to aashik be zuba maloom hota hai, magar ishq ki tafsir mein jadu bayani dekhe." Hazrat says that outwardly sometimes you see the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is outwardly not making bayan, or he just looks silent. He just looks like he's silent, but when you see that when he gives the explanation of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is as Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned also, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْبَيَانِ لَسِحْرَةً. That when they talk now, it's if they are mesmerizing us. And this is the true mesmerization, that you become mesmerized in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a person realizes that where I've been wasting my life. The real object and purpose of life is to gain this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat further explains that Aashiqo ka mimbar dil par, mimbari dil par bayane darde dil, waaz mein aamize se darde nihani dekhe. Hazrat Allahu Akbar. Hazrat explains that in the hearts of the arif of Allah subhanahu arifin, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pain of the love of Allah is penetrating their heart. And then you see that how they explain this, great advisors of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depths of their heart. When the love of Allah ta'ala comes out from the depths of the heart, then that speech and that talk of Allah, that nasihat which comes out from the heart, affects the heart. Otherwise we'll find today we get overtaken, very eloquent bayan. And this is a outspoken speaker, etc. And all big jawbreakers. But where did that bayan go? Just over the heads of everybody. Nobody even understood whether the speaker himself understood what he said or not. But the love of Allah Ta'ala is such that it is simple. Even a small child can understand. Even a so-called professor can understand. But that penetrates the heart. And that is ishq. That is the love of Allah Ta'ala, which penetrates the heart of every person. Then Hazrat explains, finally, Dastane zakham dil akhtar chupata hai magar, roze mehshar daag-e dil ki gulfishani dekhe. Hazrat says that, O akhtar, addressing himself and explaining the condition of the true lovers of Allah, those who have understood the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sacrifice, forget their haram desires, even those things that are as it is mentioned, that what the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious people, what they will do, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the very close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not of a very high level. They will do those things that are preferable, but the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very close servants like the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, for them that was not appropriate. So Hazrat is explaining that in my heart here, all the wounds in the part of sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden. I can't even explain to it that how in my young age I controlled my gazes, how I stayed in the village with my sheikh at a very young age, when every youngster wants to be out in the world and every youngster wants to be engaged in other activities. Hazrat spent his life, and all the wounds that Hazrat is saying that has scarred my heart, I'm hiding it. But inshallah, on the day of Mahshar, on the day of Qiyamah, then you will see that splendor and that shine that comes out. That will be the splendor that on that day, the real fa'arifin and the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be known to the people, that who are the real lovers of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So we should make shukr Allah Ta'ala has brought us in this majlis to learn and get an iota what is the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that should be our real aim and object and purpose of life.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. In the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, the second chapter, the importance of acquiring and imparting Islamic knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the following are from amongst the good actions of believers which continue reaching them after their death. Number one, knowledge of deen which has been imparted to others. Number two, righteous children whom he leaves behind. And many others, hadith, about seven others are mentioned in the hadith. In other words, a person teaches someone something of deen, or a ruling is explained to him. This knowledge is propagated, example, by writing books on Islam, purchasing books and giving them as endowments, or giving them to students. Students of deen are provided with food and clothing. These students then propagate Islam. The person who helped and supported them will also be a partner in their propagation. In the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, no father has given his child his children anything better than sound etiquette. In other words, Islamic knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who takes the responsibility for the upbringing of three daughters or three sisters, teaches them etiquette, and is affectionate towards them, until he becomes free of his responsibility towards them, over them, that is by getting them married, then Allah Ta'ala will make Jannah obligated on such a person. A person asked about two daughters or sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the same virtue applies to two as well. Another person asked about one daughter or sister, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the same virtue applies to one as well. These and many other ahadith mention the obligation of acquiring knowledge of deen and the rewards for studying and teaching knowledge of deen. The fundamental form of studying and teaching is the method sought through which a person becomes an alim. However, every person neither has the courage nor the opportunity to do this. I am therefore providing a simple program through which ordinary people could also fulfill this obligation and acquire rewards. Details are as follows. Number one, those who can read Urdu or learn it easily must read authentic Urdu kitabs on deen. And alhamdulillah, all of these kitabs are generally, they are translated in English. Example, Bahishti Zewar, Bahishti Gohar, Ta'alimuddin, Qasdus Sabil, and Tabligh Adin. He must try and obtain as many parts of Tazkirul Mawa'id. These are the Mawa'id of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, and many of these also have been translated. And have someone to read them to him as formal lessons. If he cannot find someone to read them to him, he must continue reading them on his own. If he comes across a place which he does not understand or is in doubt, he must mark it with a pencil and then consult a learned person later on who will then explain those places to him. Whatever he learns in this way must be conveyed to others, either by sitting in the masjid and reading it to them or reading it to others in his house. He must also read them to his wife and children. Those who heard it from him must try to remember as much as they can and convey it to others. Number two, those who cannot read Urdu must obtain the services of a well-read and well-educated person who will read the above-listed books to them. They must listen attentively to him and also ask him matters of deen. It will be best if such a person can be obtained permanently. That is, a person has an imam in the place, gather some money together and spend on him. There is one point which you must, number three, which you must, one must adhere to. Whenever you have to embark on anything, whether worldly or deeny, and you do not know whether it is good or bad from the beginning, you must ponder over it carefully and make a point of consulting an Allah-fearing alim. Thereafter, remember well whatever he says. You must then convey this to others as well, so that they may also learn it. If you do not have the opportunity of going to such an alim, you must write to him. In this way, in today's time, by email or whatever, as I write here about a self-addressed envelope, but this is not found generally in today's times. Number four, you must also make it a point of meeting Allah-fearing ulama on a regular basis. It will be best if you leave with the intention of going to meet them. If you do not have such an opportunity, and an alim of this type is not nearby, as is the case with villagers, then when you go to the city for any work, and there is such an alim there, go and sit in his company for a short while. Then you can ask him whatever you need. Number five, consider this one point to be essential. Invite an alim once every month or every 2 months to your town to deliver a lecture. In this way, love and fear of Allah Ta'ala will develop in your heart. This makes it easy to practice on deen. This is an explanation, a short explanation on the different ways of learning about deen. The ways which have been explained are extremely easy. If they are followed regularly, the essentials of deen will be acquired without much effort. However, two important points to remember. Number one, never attend the gatherings of disbelievers and deviated people. The first harm of attending such assemblies is that the words of disbelievers and deviates create a darkness in the heart. The second harm is that you may become angry at hearing the utterances. If you were to give vent to your anger, it could result in problems. These problems could also be worldly. Sometimes they result in court cases, which are both a waste of time and money. All this is distressful. If you cannot give vent to your anger, it results in grief and affliction in your heart. What is the benefit of bringing on worries in yourself? Number two, as it mentions, do not get into debates and discussions with anyone. In most cases, they have the same harms as mentioned above. Another major harm with regard to these two points is that by attending assemblies of this nature, or engaging in debates and discussions, something about disbelief and misguidance may fall onto your ears and could cause doubt in your heart. Now you do not have so much of knowledge to repulse the doubt from your heart. Why then should you do something which causes so much of harm? If anyone tries to engage you in a debate or discussion, say to him clearly, do not speak about these matters to me. If you really have to ask anyone, go and ask the ulama. If you bear in mind all of these points, you will be combining the medication with the precaution. Allah willing, you will always remain healthy in matters of deen. You will never suffer from illness in deen. And tawfiq is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amen.